The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Well, good morning and welcome to our Ask the Pastor Bible Study, our Bible study on the road. We've done many Bible studies on the road over the years, and we usually do it in the 10 o'clock hour. And we usually talk about the assigned text for the day. We just do it out in a location where people can come watch the broadcast. Today, a little bit different, the Ask the Pastor Hour, live from Green Park Lutheran School down here in South St. Louis County. Good morning, I'm Chuck Rather. Thank you for tuning our way. It's always fun to get out and meet folks and see people, and that's kind of what we have going on today. The first thing I want to do is encourage you, if you're in the neighborhood here, I guess Union, is that where we are? Pastor Jeff Clater is with me here.
Yeah, Union and Green Park Road.
Union and Green Park Road. Those of you who live in South St. Louis County or in the area and are driving around, just stop by. You don't have to make a two-hour commitment or anything, but you can come in here and enjoy the fellowship and support a pretty worthy cause here. So I'm inviting you to stop by. I'd like to say hi to you. I know Pastor Clater would like to say hi to you. So Green Park Lutheran School is the location. People are beginning to file in here. The activity is ramping up, and we'd like to see you. So our guest here in this Ask the Pastor Hour is Pastor Jeff Clater. He is on staff as pastor at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church in St. Louis and is going to spend the next hour with us here today. Good morning, Pastor.
Thank you, Chuck. Glad to be here.
You're a pretty young guy. How old are you? I don't ask many of our pastors how old they are, but I'm asking you.
I'm aging quickly. I'm 32, but 32. I have three children. I'm a one-month-old is one of them, and I have a mortgage and a job, so I'm aging quickly.
Aging quickly. That's pretty much the way life goes. And you're on staff with Pastor Bill Simmons, Pastor Greg Smith at Christ Memorial.
That's correct, yep.
Things, activities going on there?
Yeah, we are active, preaching the gospel and very busy. So, and this is one, we're at Green Park, we're a part of an association church of this school. And so this is part of our ministry, and we're glad that you're here with us today at Green Park.
So tell me what the event is here, the Empty Bowls Project. What's going on?
The Empty Bowls Project, really the inaugural year was last year. One of our members really spearheaded it. It is essentially to raise hunger awareness and also support the cause of hunger in our city. And last year, and again this year, one of the organizations we're supporting is Lift for Life Gym, which is a nonprofit organization in the city just north and downtown. It's an after-school program for inner-city kids, youth, and teens that provides weightlifting training, health, but also nutrition. They provide three meals on the evenings every week to about 50 inner-city kids who normally would eat nothing or have Doritos and Hostess cupcakes for dinner. So we're about raising awareness for that cause. The other organization this year that we're also supporting that we didn't last year is called Operation Backpack. And what they do is on weekends provide nutrition for kids by sending a backpack home with food in it for that weekend, nutritious kid-friendly food for the weekend. And then the kids bring the backpack back on Monday and then receive it again on Friday. And so that there's food for them, healthy food for them over the weekend. So overall, it's an awareness for us as the church to engage our city and the need of hunger, raise awareness for that, and then also be able to help in some way.
How did your church get involved in this project?
A couple of things. First of all, Green Park looks to do these things that engage the world. And second of all, we did have a connection with Lift for Life. Actually, my wife is a teacher at Lift for Life Academy, which is the charter school in the city in Soulard, not too far from the Farmers Market and Historic Trinity. But my wife teaches there. There was a connection with some of our members who work there, and that's connected to this gym, which provides the food. But in terms of Green Park wanting to get involved with that, we certainly see that at times Lutheran education can be simply parochial and we can get kind of locked off in our own world. But, you know, at Green Park, we want to serve the world. We want to engage the world. And so opportunities like this get our students formed and ready and aware of needs that exist in the world around them.
So for the folks who are filing in here today or somebody who's listening to us on the radio and says, you know, I think I could stop by there. I'd like to do that. Are we raising money today? Or what's you know, if I walk through the door, what are you going to ask me to do?
Certainly, good question. It is kind of a unique fundraiser in that when you walk in the door, you'll pay $10 and you'll get a bowl made by the students here at Green Park, the students and or faculty. It's also kind of helped, the art department has been a part of it too. They made these bowls over the last couple of months, ceramic bowls.
And here at the grade school?
Here at the grade school. We have a kiln here. That's about, I don't know how to use it, but I know we have a kiln. I know what the word is, but
yeah.
I've never used one before. But it'll be filled with soup for you, along with other food and drink. You'll be able to eat here, or you can take it to go. But you're able to keep the bowl as a reminder that there are empty bowls in the world. And so it's a hunger awareness. So if you come down here, you can, $10, you get a good meal. It's lunchtime anyway. Do that. You get to keep a bowl. Also, there's a dinner time schedule. Make sure I get the time right. 5:30 to 7:30 tonight as well if you want to come back for dinner. All the money goes to these two organizations, Live for Life Gym, as well as this Operation Backpack. Last year, we raised a little over $6,000. The goal this year is $8,000. I think we'll exceed that. Just in my opinion, but there is a fundraiser as well as awareness.
Now, I've been down to your church, Christ Memorial. It's a big church. You've got a big parking lot. You go inside, and you have a huge entrance area there, narthex, and you have a workout room, offices. It's huge, and it suggests that there are no hungry people within 10 miles of your location there. Hunger is something that is around us, but most of us don't see it. Most of us don't know it. So how acute is the problem?
I think in particular, and those in the church, maybe all of us, are aware of it now with the economy, that those that we would not have expected to be hungry now are hungry in ways that we didn't expect before. There are a couple of things that we do that we engage the hungry underserved. One is we have a fitness center. We're kind of a weird church. We do these weird things. We have a fitness center, but it's not simply just to provide workout space, but health care for those who are. We have a rehab ministry that.
So you care for the whole person there at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church.
The whole person, correct. Correct. So we see a lot more people coming in that need to use the rehab services we have with the fitness center because they can't afford to continue the rehab that their doctor is assigning them. So we have uninsured, underinsured people that we interact with. We are also partnering with, we have a big pizza place next door to us. We're partnering with them to provide a Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving Day for those who, really it's wide open, but for those who would maybe not have a Thanksgiving meal on that day. So we're mindful of that we have to catch ourselves and say this isn't just a city problem, but it exists closer to us than we would expect.
Sometimes church parishes, congregations come under criticism, fair criticism, that the congregation exists just to meet its own needs and is generally oblivious to whatever is going on outside of its doors. Christ Memorial Lutheran Church seems to be running in the opposite direction of that. If somebody were to come to you and say, you know what, we would like to do what you're doing. We don't really know where to start. How do you pick a project? How do you go about the business of addressing the whole person and health and hunger and things like that? Would you have some advice?
I think the first step is to know your neighbors. To love your neighbor as yourself means that you know them, that you listen to them, that you walk across a room and introduce yourself first of all. So if there's a local congregation, to know your community, what the needs would be then. If you listen carefully, you'll find the specific needs that you may have in that community, and then how can you meet them? And certainly you can do things, start ministries or programs that would address those needs yourself. But I would also recommend, simply getting on with something that people are already doing. So we don't have a food shelter, as an example. We don't have a food shelf. We carry very little food in our church building. But we support Feed My People, who really does a better job than we could ever do. And we direct people there who have that need. So it's, you could evaluate and say, could we offer something specific in our ministry, or can we get in on something that somebody's already doing and doing well? And I think those are what you'd have to discern in your particular context.
One of the things we're looking forward to, and we're located in the gymnasium here at Green Park Lutheran School. There's lots of room here. From what I was able to observe, there's plenty of parking, so if you want to come by, and get lunch here and get some excellent soup and sit and visit with some people. There's plenty of room here. I'm sure you can hear the buzz in the background here. There are a lot of people. All you got to do is look around. You can see they're all having a great time. I understand the first graders from Green Park Lutheran School are going to come in at the bottom of the hour and they're going to sing three songs or hymns for us, so you'll probably hear some of that as we make our way through this hour. Come on by. We're at Green Park Lutheran School. If you're in the South St. Louis County area, you probably know where that is. We'd love for you to stop by and make a contribution to fight hunger in our area. Pastor, on the question of hunger, probably most of us believe that, yes, there's probably somebody who's hungry somewhere. It's much more the exception than it is the rule. And you know what, Pastor? It's probably their own fault. You know, they probably have not pursued an ambitious course, and now, you know, well, you're hungry, that's your own fault. Most people listening to us are not quite that Ebenezer Scrooge about it. But that means that we put ourselves in a position to sort of excuse ourselves from thinking about it or confronting it. Now, you mentioned these other organizations that are represented here today, Live for Life Gym and those kinds of things. I assume that they are in touch with the real nature of the need and have communicated to you so that you can share with us. Is it a serious problem in America? Are there really hungry people? Are there really people who are working as hard as they can, doing what they do, and still go to bed at night hungry? Is that really happening?
One of the statistics that comes with the Empty Bowls Project or the city school system that we gathered is that 85% of the children in the St. Louis Public School District are on free or reduced lunch, which means that there is a level of poverty that they come from that demands that. And so certainly it exists there, and then as we've talked about it, it's even closer to those who maybe don't live in the city. It may be closer than they expect. You could certainly get into issues of responsibility. Are those, well, is it their own fault? Are they taking enough responsibility for their own needs? I think from the church's perspective, we have to be mindful of that and encourage people to take responsibility. At the same time, loving your neighbor as yourself, caring for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow requires a bit of risk. That kind of love, the love that Christ calls us to, is willing to risk being taken advantage of even. You know, we want to be wise, we want to be prudent, but at the same time, we know that the love that Jesus gives us takes us into places where we may be taken advantage of. Our cloak may be taken from us, we may be slapped in the cheek, and yet the Christian love is willing to take that risk. And so, yeah, there's a bit of a balance there, assessing where the need is and people's own responsibility, but erring on the side of love and really rather liberal, if I can use that term, liberal servanthood, sacrificial servanthood.
So now let's talk about the issue of nutrition. You mentioned that. There are people, particularly young people, who may not necessarily be hungry, but they're not well fed. Whatever it is that they're filling up on is not nutritious, is not good for them, and some of this has begun to bubble up in the mainstream media. We're hearing about childhood obesity, for example. If you're obese, you're probably not going to bed hungry, but you're probably, in your own way, in as bad a shape as the person who is going to bed hungry because you're not getting the right foods. So can you talk about that? Is that an issue that is on the mind of your church, your pastors, when you think about getting involved in an event like this?
Yeah, certainly the part of this project understands that many of the students that we're trying to help, yeah, they eat, but they have Doritos for dinner. And just from our engagement with Live for Life Academy in the gym, my wife teaching in the public school system, that's a huge issue. In that those things are convenient, those things are easy to get, oftentimes cheaper. It's cheaper to buy ramen noodles than fresh fruit. So it's a broader, more comprehensive issue of class as well and socioeconomic status. And so, hey, you have a lot of kids that eat something, but it's not the right thing. And as we see in the education system, that trickles down to the student performance and all kinds of other things. And so their hunger is kind of one of the base issues that, at least in the public sector, that they're paying attention to in public school districts, and that we as the church are mindful of as well.
You're a young man. You have three children. You have a newborn just a month old. Do you think that you have a heightened sensitivity to nutrition and education, teaching children how to eat well, since you have three young ones yourself?
Are you going to tell me
Mrs. Clater is on the job there?
Well, she's good. She's a science teacher, by the way, so she's mindful of these things. I'm mindful of what I eat in front of them as well. Right now my metabolism is that of a hummingbird, I'll have to say. I can still kind of eat what I want, and the effects are minimal at this point in my life. That's going to change quickly, and it's going to happen overnight, I'm afraid. But it's shaped a bit what I eat, and certainly in our own home we care for our children, and that's one of the ways we care for them.
So I've got some notes here. It says local restaurants are involved. Is that right?
Yeah, there's some local restaurants that are contributing some of the soup. One of our members, Tika, I'll give a plug to him. He makes a great chef at Trattoria Toscana on Gravois. I saw him in here earlier bringing in some soup. So there is some professional, high-quality cuisine here that will fill your bowl
professional
with.
Professional, high-quality cuisine.
Yeah,
I couldn't ask for more.
I just made that up.
I'm looking, it was well said. You're a very articulate man. I'm looking and I can see you can have some broccoli cheddar. You can have some clam chowder. Looks like they have tomato bisque. And kartoffel, which for those of you Germans in South St. Louis County will recognize that as potato soup. So there are all kinds of options here, plenty to drink. I see it looks like they've got iced tea or lemonade or something over there. Pastor, before we make our way to the bottom of the hour here, I was reviewing I'm pretty sure the readings for this week. Sometimes I get confused. Sometimes I'm in last week, next week, whatever. But this is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I believe it's the epistle reading for this Sunday. And in verse 6 it says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disrupted and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be any burden, a burden to any of you." Today, I'm just looking at the lady who's walking across the floor here. She's got her apron on. I met her earlier. She's in charge.
Yeah. Ashlyn Cunningham.
Ashlyn Cunningham. You can tell she's in charge. She's watching what's going on here. She is not idle, Pastor. And there are all kinds of people here, and many of them wearing red shirts that identify themselves as associated with this event. These people are working today so that people who can't buy food or can't get food may be fed. So there is, you don't have to be a Christian to do a work like this. You can care for the hungry and not be a Christian, but if you are a Christian, it seems to me that you have an imperative from Scripture to not sit around on your fanny and either work in an event like this or support an event like this. Now, am I pushing a round peg in a square hole, or do you?
No, I would agree. I think that as Lutherans, oftentimes the accusation is leveled that, well, you guys got grace, but gosh, you don't. Your life of sanctification is poor. You're almost afraid of good works. That can be leveled at a Lutheran theology sometimes, that because we emphasize grace so much. But really, I think the depth of the clarity of grace and of the gospel that we have as Lutheran Christians really frees us to do these kind of things. We are under not out of obligation or guilt or feel convicted in some way, but we are driven to do this out of a great freedom because of the gospel, because of that grace. And so you see people here that, God willing, have heard the gospel and then feel freed to do this and not be idle. And I think you can see, as Paul talks about, Paul kind of goes back and forth in his epistles between this deep grace, it's all God, And then he goes into to deep exhortation where he says, you know, work hard. I exhort you. I encourage you. He says here, I command you all commands. And so, but that's always done out of a perspective of grace and mercy. And that's the best motivation, I guess. But so certainly there is there's this command not to idleness, but to work and to work for our neighbor.
We just finished the study of the Gospel of Matthew on our 10 o'clock Bible study hour. And this morning, Roland Lettner and Pastor Dave Marth from Historic Trinity in Soulard, you mentioned that area, that church down there. They began with the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 1 this morning. But in that study of the Gospel of Matthew, we went through that fairly familiar passage where Jesus says to the sheep, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And they say, Lord, you know, when did we do these things, visit you in prison, tend to you when you were sick? And he said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Does this event fit into the least of these category?
Yeah, certainly we are working for those who have need. I think, you know, scripture talks a lot about the least, the lowly, the little, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. And I think that we are mindful of those people and working for those. Many of that Live for Life Gym comes into contact with fit that category. And to comment on that text too, I would say nobody here is looking for credit. If we pulled Ashlyn Cunningham over here, and I'm saying her name publicly, and she's not listening, I don't think, but if I would pull her over here, she would be reluctant. Last year, I know there was a lot of praise for her. It was a successful event, and we were always tempted by that praise and that glory, personally, our own ego, but Ashlyn would deflect that. And I think that gets to the fact that she may be largely unaware of the depth of what she's doing, of her work, because she works out of a place of freedom, freed by the gospel. And I think those in Matthew 25 there are just in some ways unaware that they're even of what they're doing. They simply are grateful servants.
Now let's see if we can say this in the best positive upward way that we can without sounding critical or judgmental. But for a group of people who puts on an event like this, a successful event, and feeds hungry children and hungry people, but not in the name of Jesus. They do it for whatever motivations they do it. And then we have this event, which does all the same things, but does it in the name of Jesus. Does it for all the reasons that you just explained before. Not to receive credit, not to receive praise, but to do it because the Lord calls us to do it. What does the second group have that the first group does not have?
Yeah, certainly non-Christians can do good things. And I read this morning that, non-Christians can do good things. And so, but the second group, namely, you know, us as those who know the love of God and Jesus Christ, you know, I think part of it is our motivation is different. Again, there's that freedom.
Freedom. What do you mean?
Freedom that comes, that we're doing this not out of obligation, not out of a sense of overwhelming burden. And I couldn't speak for those outside of the church what their motivation is, and if they experience that burden, if they feel that their worth depends on what they do. We're mindful that our worth depends on what God has done already, and then the freedom comes in what we do from there. I think just a comment on our witness in doing this too. Certainly, we could talk about the social gospel or the role of social ministry in the church. I think one thing that we do in an event like this as a Christian group is we bear witness to the cross of Jesus in what we do. Live for Life Gym and Operation Backpack are not Christian organizations, but by helping them, we are engaging them and bearing witness to the hope that is within us by our serving them. So there's some intentional partnership with specifically non-Christian charity organizations in the city that we bear witness to them.
So then, I guess I would like to try to focus on that freedom issue that you were talking about there, because I think that for those people who, like Ashlyn, you were talking about here, there's a difference between having a job, being accountable for your work, being evaluated on how well you do, how much raise you get depending on how well your evaluation goes, kind of the burden of reaching those expectations in a job. Anybody with a job knows how that feels. But there's a different feeling, that freedom that comes where you can freely associate with something like this. You can ask the Lord of the universe to bless it, and then you are free to give it your best shot, and nobody's going to come along later and critique you or ask you how you did. You don't even want to think that way. There's a real good feeling. Can I say it that way? A real good feeling that goes with that, that I think maybe non-Christians don't get to experience. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I believe so. A particular level of significance that we feel. You know, non-Christians will say, well, I do good things because it makes me feel good. And I believe there's some truth in that, that created in the image of God, we are given the law written on our hearts. When there is this doing God's will, even if you're a non-Christian, there can be a sense of this is right and this is good. But at the same time, I think the a non-Christian perspective, we get to this, is that you do good things, and there are kind of two end results. First, you can just despair, because at the end of the day, you realize, have I done enough? Am I really that good of a person? You try to establish your worth and your value in what you do, and then if you fail, you begin to question your worth and your value if you base it on what you do, or you get arrogant. You begin to rack up these things, these good things, and it becomes a place of arrogance, of pride, of ego. And we as Christians wrestle with that too. We repent of that and fall back into grace, and then work from a place again of freedom.
I've kind of got my eye on the stage here in the gymnasium at Green Park Lutheran School, because we're told that the first graders are going to be coming in here pretty soon, are going to sing. And we're going to do everything we can to try to pick that up so that you can hear that singing. Pastor, I want to talk a little bit about veterans here in this hour of conversation with you before our program is out. But before we do that, if you were going to describe to somebody how they could get here, what kind of directions would you give for somebody who's listening to us and says, yeah, you know, I think I'd like to have some of that potato soup?
Just let me give you the address and just put in your GPS. Or you can follow down.
Spoken like a guy.
Yeah, no.
Well done.
I don't have a GPS system, so for me, if you're on 55 south of south of downtown, it's actually Rivas Barracks. You get up on Rivas Barracks, and you go east on Rivas Barracks, right off the interstate there, 55, which is left if you're coming from the north, and then you take a quick right onto
Green Park.
Onto Green Park, and you'll run right into it, just down a bit. On the left-hand side, you can't miss
a couple of hundred yards, yeah. And there's a lot of parking. The place is beginning to fill up, but there are plenty of seats remaining. As you can probably tell by listening to us, there's a hubbub here, and folks are enjoying fellowship, and they're enjoying some outstanding soup. So we invite you to come by Green Park Lutheran School. And as you mentioned before, Pastor, they're going to do this evening for supper too, right?
Yep, 5:30 to 7:30, the same thing. And again, just to reiterate, it's $10 for a meal. You get a bowl that is made by a student or faculty member here at Green Park that you can keep, and that is you can eat out of and put it in the dishwasher. But you get the bowl, and then we fill it with soup and other items. There's dessert, drinks, side items as well. All of that for $10. You get the bowl to keep as a reminder of hunger awareness, that there are empty bowls in the world, and you get lunch or dinner.
All right, today is Veterans Day, and this is one of those days where it's easy to just let the whole thing slide by and never even stop to think about our veterans, the sacrifices that they have made, the sacrifices that are being made as the men and women of our armed forces serve our country. Should Veterans Day be on the mind of a Christian, or is Veterans Day a civil holiday, has to do with the government, has to do with the armed forces, and is not really connected to the kingdom of God? Oh, let's
we'll
before you
back.
Answer that,
we'll
let's listen back. To the kids here. Whatsoever You Do for the Least of My Brothers, the first of three songs from the first graders at Green Park Lutheran School in South St. Louis County. Song from the first graders here at Green Park Lutheran School. Three songs, the hymn Beautiful Savior here. If you just joined us, we're doing a live broadcast, a live Ask the Pastor broadcast from Green Park Lutheran School on Green Park Road, just south of Rivas Barracks. And folks here are working to help hungry people. It's called the Empty Bowls Project. The gymnasium is full of people here. We just heard from the first graders. You don't have a first grader yet, do you, Pastor?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Pretty soon?
They're aging quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting there.
That's the voice of Pastor Jeffrey Clater. He is a pastor at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church, and they are part of the Green Park, the Lutheran School Association, a number of churches in this area that have banded together in order to sustain and educate these children. So if you're in the area and you would like to support this very good work, it's called the Empty Bowls Project. You come in, $10 will get you a bowl of soup. They have all kinds of wonderful soup here today, and you will help feed some hungry people. In the Ask the Pastor Hour, we typically deal with questions and issues that the people, Christian people, are facing, and we wanted to spend a little time here talking about Veterans Day. And the question I had put to Pastor Plater just before the kids began to sing has to do with when we consider veterans, when we consider the men and women of the armed forces who are defending our country and doing the work of the armed forces, is that purely a civil realm, purely a governmental realm activity, or are those men and women serving the kingdom of God as well?
Yes. A bit of both. Certainly it is in the civil realm. It is in the realm of the world and activity in the world. And at the same time, you know, we believe, and this is outside of kind of the church, but even all those who serve in government or in the army, they are living out vocations that are established by God under His authority, really, whether they know it or not. And many have no idea what they're doing. Now we could get into to issues of just government or just war, but certainly God uses people, real people, in government or in service to establish peace and justice on earth, and we trust that He does provide us daily bread, which includes freedom, peace, and justice. And so we are grateful to the men and women who have served and are serving, and so we want to say that on this Veterans Day, that appreciation and gratitude to those who are listening who have served or are serving in our armed forces.
Those men and women, even in peacetime, make something of a sacrifice. For many, they may not see combat, but they may live in Germany for 2 years, they may live in Italy for 2 years, they may be back in the United States, they may be on an aircraft carrier for a year and you never see anybody but the people with whom they serve. They make a sacrifice. Is that sacrifice, I guess this is similar to the first question, is that a kingdom sacrifice? Is that something that is honorable within the scope of the church?
I think for the individual Christian, it is honorable, and it is service to God, because they understand that whatever they do is kind of, we have a theology of vocation that says what I do is I am a mask of God on earth. I am working on behalf of Him. I think for the church, and more specifically to if we're talking about gospel proclamation or the work of the gospel, certainly there is this mysterious intertwining. We have Christians who work in this a very real world, a civil world, under governing authorities of nations. And at the same time, for the church and for Christians, there is a sense not just of duty and authority on that level, but how do they carry that out as Christians in witness to their faith, in witness to the gospel which they believe. So I think for Christians, it carries even a more specific duty and a more specific motivation that comes from the gospel that they trust in.
Do you find yourself, or have you found yourself, dealing with folks who have been to war, who have seen some terrible things or experienced some terrible things? They're back here in the good old USA now, and those things are behind them except for the memories. You know what it's like to provide pastoral care for somebody who's been through that kind of experience?
To a degree. I have not interacted a lot with servicemen and women, a handful. And I cannot, as pastors, whatever the circumstance that comes in with counseling or providing pastoral care, we try to empathize and understand it. This is one area that is foreign to me. I can hear stories of war, and there are many that
are foreign
untold.
To me.
Yeah, we cannot understand the immense pressure, the stress. You face life and death situations on a regular basis. I do not know what that's like. It's that's part of our gratitude on Veterans Day, that there are men and women who do that for us, and we're grateful. I think there are a couple things that we do is first we listen, and we stand with. And I think we admit that we don't understand. I think people are quick to say, well, I know what you're going through. I think it's fine to say, I have no idea what you're going through. As a Christian brother or sister, as your pastor, I want to listen. I want to stand with you and try to understand where you're coming from, and that you have some things you've been through that are very difficult. Also, the reacclimation is another thing that I think is probably a big issue. After having seen those things, how do you go back to life as usual, or can you ever, with family or a job or in your church? And understand, they come back with a different perspective, to be mindful of that. And there are ways to pay attention to that, I think, that show them that you are listening, that you're caring. And then in that, you're providing a word from God. Even though I don't fully understand the depths of what you go through, we do know of a God who knows of suffering, who knows of bloodshed, namely and ultimately in His Son Jesus, that we provide a gospel word in their lives.
Pastor, can a Christian go to war? Can a Christian kill the enemy in good conscience?
You're asking these tough questions.
Is that a tough one?
Yeah, I think it's a challenging one that we often talk about in the church. That's challenging. It certainly, people bring it up and talk about, well, what's the fifth commandment? And I think we certainly come to the conclusion that there is, in our vocations, we are under the authority of government. God established authority.
And by fifth government. Commandment, for those who number the commandments differently, you mean thou shalt not kill.
Thank you. We had, just before the broadcast, we talked about Romans 13, and Paul talks about submission to the authorities. Now, certainly they're governing authorities. He also talks about those who bear the sword. As those who, as he talks about that authority, he says, there is no authority except from God. This is chapter 13, verse 1. And those who that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. And so there's this, Paul has this sense of that God is, that ultimately, again, whether they know it or not, those who bear the sword and those who lead our country, and we just come off elections, a little over a week ago we've had elections, that those who represent our country in leadership positions are under the authority of God, and we trust this God to provide us with daily bread, all that we need to support this body and life. And part of that is the hard decisions of war, the hard decisions of conflict, and serving under that authority. Yes, it is acceptable for a soldier, a Christian soldier, to carry out his vocation as soldier under the authority of a government. Now, we could go on about governments, are there unjust governments and whatnot, but I'll leave that for the next Ask the Pastor.
Oh, well, that's what I was going to go to next, and we don't have to dwell on it, because you're right, it is a can of worms, and we could take up the rest of this hour talking about that. But how should a Christian, particularly a citizen of the United States, because in our system of government, we the people have the power. The power to govern comes from the governed. So it seems to me it's incumbent upon every citizen to evaluate what its government is doing, whether it's in Afghanistan or whether it's in Iraq or whether it's considering nuclear weapons in Iran. Every citizen ought to run that over in his mind. Do you do that in the context of the Scriptures, Pastor, when you think this through for yourself? Do you implement the Scriptures in coming to a conclusion, well, I think this is a just war, or no, I think this is an unjust war? How do you work that out?
Yeah, certainly we're not to be robots, and it's and I think one of the great things in our country, we can evaluate, and we do evaluate our government and are critical of anything in the realm of politics. It maybe even goes to extremes, but certainly in our government, where the power is with the people, that makes the responsibility heightened for us as Christians, that we are part of this, and that there's a serious role that we play, not just in electing leaders for the direction of our country, but being active in the world, in civil affairs, that we that we do that. That is part of then all of our vocation as Christians, to carry that out and to work for peace and for justice, for who will lead our country in ways that will do that. What are ways in which we can establish peace and justice that bless all in our country and around the world?
I'm going to ask you to offer a short prayer on behalf of our veterans here in just a little bit, but one more question here, and that is, do you have any insight, Pastor, for those of us who are not veterans? What's the appropriate thing to do on Veterans Day if you happen to know somebody who's a veteran, if you happen to know somebody who has served? Do you think it's a good thing to just walk up to that person and put your hand on his or her shoulder and say, I want to thank you for your service? Or do you think that serving like that is such an intimate and kind of a private thing for most people that they would be embarrassed or that the consequence might be unfortunate if you were to just walk up to somebody and say thank you?
I can't speak for them, but I would think that a sign of appreciation on a day like this is more than appropriate, and I'm sure it's appreciated, and it happens throughout much of the day in the media and our local communities with signs of appreciation. I also think beyond that, it's probably a reminder for us, as are many different holidays that are established, it's a reminder that this is an everyday thing. Veterans Day doesn't mean that one day we remember that there are those who serve or have served, but there are those who bear the scars, both emotional and physical, of war. And maybe it's a chance for us to ponder, are there ways that we can serve them beyond this day? Are there ways that we can offer support to them as the church, specifically, beyond this day, both physical, as we're here today for helping out with hunger, both physical, but then also the spiritual? Are there ways we can minister to them? I think that's an important conversation for the church to have, for the men and women of service. Certainly we have a lot of conversation about chaplaincy in the armed forces, and we have many chaplains in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who serve there. But even beyond that, what can the local congregation do? And I don't have the answer, but maybe today is a good day to ponder that as a local congregation.
Let's pray for our veterans.
Certainly. Lord of the earth, that you have created and you sustain this creation by your grace and your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world, ours included, the nations, many of which rage on, where there is conflict, where there is not peace, where there is not justice. And we pray for peace and justice, and we pray for daily bread, all that we need to support this body and life, which includes good government, which includes peaceful nations. We pray for our nation in particular, for guidance of our leaders, and for those who serve in our armed forces here and around the world. We also remember those who have served in the past, that they are honored today. We pray that you would provide for them, oftentimes when we don't think of them, when they are lonely, when they suffer depression, when they suffer physical maladies, because of the wars they have participated in, that you provide for them, Lord, that you care for them. Also for those who serve currently, that you give them safety and peace, that you give them skill in what they do, that you provide for their families that they leave behind, and that you help them in that distance and help them to return safely. We pray for all those active and those who have been active, Lord, that ultimately you provide them with good news that comes in Jesus, a peace that we cannot attain by any means other than simply your grace that you give us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We pray for that gospel to be known among all of our servicemen and women, for the chaplains who serve and those who would speak gospel words to them. We entrust this day, this observation of veterans, we entrust it into your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, the end of the prayer bell rang, and you ended right on the spot there. That was very
good
well
time,
done.
Man.
We got about 2 minutes left here, Pastor. For those folks who have just joined us, perhaps in the past few minutes, and they can tell that this Ask the Pastor program is a little different because they can hear the folks here in the background. They can hear the piano. We have an event called the Empty Bowls event here at Green Park Lutheran School. So take the next couple of minutes here and give me your best reasons for stopping by and participating.
Well, first of all, you and I are here, so
yeah.
That'd be a good reason.
Well, then
right?
You could really be done almost right there.
I'll finish. Again, just a reminder, if you're just tuning in, Empty Bowls Project, Green Park Lutheran School, just off of 55, get off of Rivas Barracks. $10 to get you a bowl of soup in a handmade ceramic bowl made by a student or faculty member at Green Park. We'll fill that bowl for you along with other desserts and drinks and whatnot. For $10, you can eat here, you can take it to go. You also get to keep the bowl as a reminder of that there are empty bowls in the world, of the need for hunger awareness in our world. And we are supporting two particular agencies today. One is Lift for Life Gym, which is just north of downtown on Cass Avenue, which provides nutrition and food for students, as well as health and fitness and weightlifting program for inner city students. And also Operation Backpack, which provides food and healthy food for kids over the weekend. So those are the organizations we're supporting. That's how we're doing it. We're here till, let me see here, we're here till 1 o'clock for lunch, but then, oh, I'm sorry, 2 o'clock for lunch today, but then back from 5:30 to 7:30 this evening if you want dinner. Either of those times, right now or 5:30 to 7:30, you can come and participate.
So you get a great meal. It doesn't cost very much. You pay the same thing in a restaurant, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of fellowship going on here at Green Park Lutheran School. If you're in the area, why don't you stop in, have lunch, or this evening you can have dinner here and help a great cause, because I guess there really are hungry people in our midst, Pastor.
True. That is true.
That is Pastor Jeffrey Clater. I'm Chuck Rathert. That is our conversation here on our Ask the Pastor Hour. We will resume our normal broadcasting tomorrow, but we are truly hopeful that you will stop by Green Park Lutheran School if you're in the area and participate in this very fine event. So that wraps things up for us. We'll be sending it back to the radio station here. Pastor Clater, thank you so much for your participation. God's blessings to you.
Thank you.
Listen to Chuck Rathert and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.